Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for all we have sung today. We thank you that you are a God who is faithful. We thank you that you are a God who we can decide to follow and that you will never let us go. So Father, I pray into anyone's life here who feels like they're holding on by the fingertips, that they would know that they have a God who is holding them so tightly. And Lord God, I pray that any of us who are fearful about something close or something even across the world that affects us and impacts us, that we would know that we have a God who is faithful and in control. And Lord God, now as we turn to your word, we pray that you would speak to us and we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, folks, we have already mentioned that there is a new little. Richard has had an Isaac. Richard and Kate have had Isaac. But we have also had twins born in the parish. Does anyone know that? We have had twins born. So Basil and Nan have a little further heritage there of lovely twins. Anybody got twins in their family? Has anybody here got twins in their family? Okay, right. Any identical twins in the family? Oh, my goodness, yes. Diane and Amanda. Very good. Well, hopefully we've got a wee presentation. I don't know, hopefully you can see this or whatever up here. Is it working, boys? All right. I love this wee picture of identical twins. LOL, Mum thought I was you, so she fed me twice. That's very good, isn't it? And then I just thought this isn't funny. This is just cute. This next one. Have you seen these wee bibs? That says buy one, get one free. Isn't that class? Isn't that absolutely brilliant? As you know, I looked up jokes about twins and all. Oh, they were desperate. There were some absolutely desperate ones. I'm not going to use some of them. There was one. Well, here you go. Here's me telling you. There was one about a lady and she was pregnant. She had an accident. She ended up in a coma for 4 months. You heard this story? And she woke up and she found out babies were fine. Everything was absolutely fine. The two babies were born. She said, and where are they? She says, well, your brother's looking after them. And he actually named them. And she went, oh no, my brother's an idiot. What did he call them? He says, well, the wee girl's called Denise. What do you think the boy's called? Denephew. Yep, that's right. Well done. Okay. And here's one for Susan. So Susan, our drummer, if you ever have identical twins, call them both Anna. All right? Why? Anna 1, Anna 2. There you go. That's absolutely terrible. Anyway, that's nothing to do with our sermon. No, it is. Actually, it's loads to do with our sermon. It's loads to do with our sermon. Because what we have today, what Ozzy read to us, are two twin stories. They actually are twin stories. Now look at it, okay? So he put another parable before them, saying the kingdom of heaven is like. So remember, parables give us something that's comparable so that we can understand what this mysterious spiritual reality is. So he gives twin stories. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it's larger than all garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till all was leavened. Okay? These are twin stories. Okay? They're twin stories. Now, the reason why I say they're twin stories is because the basic sort of message of them both is that the kingdom of God starts small. Like this tiny pinhead seed, okay? Little teensy wee thing. It starts so small. Or a little bit of yeast. It starts so small, but it has mammoth, massive results, okay? That's the basic message of both of these parables. They're twins, okay? Now, they're both interesting as well because both mustard and yeast are both generally undesirable things in the ancient world. Now, why that is because mustard, if you read sort of ancient writers and all, there's a guy we get a lot of information from called Pliny. And this guy called Pliny, who was writing at that time, he called this the most noxious of plants, mustard. Because the problem was, you planted it and it kind of just spreads everywhere, okay? And that was a big problem. And you'll know from like rabbinical teaching, you know, like if you read Leviticus, there's a lot about not having, like a law about not having clothes made out of two different kinds of fabric. But there was also a law not to have, I have to tell Judith this and Nicola and all, that there's also a thing not to have all of these different sort of plants living in the same space, all right? That was considered unclean. So they didn't really like the mustard plant very much. And also, yeast is nearly always associated with sin in the Bible. Okay, so you think of Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. We know that the yeast of the Pharisees was hypocrisy and the yeast of Herod was evil. When the Passover feast was coming around, they had to sweep out all yeast out of their homes. It was synonymous with sin. So you've got these two undesirable things. But the twins tell us, you see, that not only are they both about what starts small gets big, okay? What starts innocuous becomes enormous. They also tell us that what seems undesirable can be beautiful. And both of these are descriptions of the kingdom. And think how these things relate to the kingdom. Think of the fact that, you know, Jesus was just one man who most people rejected. Where he came from didn't impress very many people. He was just a little small person, you know, in many people's view. And when they heard that he was actually the son of a carpenter and they heard of some of the rumors around his legitimacy and all that sort of stuff, people really rejected him. Just a wee small person, you know, and people rejected him. But his influence is so wide. You know, it is reached, you know, in an innocuous moment on Calvary. It has reached Dallingstown, hasn't it? You know, this message, it has spread like wildfire, spread like mustard. What starts small can become large. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, it says in the Old Testament. It becomes large. And it's undesirable to some people. People, it says in Isaiah, doesn't it, that he had no beauty to attract us to him. His disciples were seen as unlearned men. But yet, in God's hands, these, like mustard's a pest, really, you know. But these pests became preachers, you know. Sinners became saints who preached, you know. I mean, it's beautiful, this message of the kingdom. Starts small, gets large, seems undesirable, but God uses it for his glory. Like, we're just getting ready for new wine, Sligo, and you can still book in if you wish to come along. We'd love to have you. A big conference in Sligo in July, and we're getting ready for it. And one of the people that we have coming along is a guy called Nick Park. Isn't that right? Vanta knows him a wee bit. And Nick Park is from Evangelical Alliance in Ireland. There's an Evangelical Alliance up here as well, but it's down south. And it's fantastic. He actually walked out on his parents as a young man and became a homeless alcoholic on the street. You know, he was ministered to by the Salvation Army, and now he leads a phenomenal church in Drogheda. And he also is the head of Evangelical Alliance down south. I mean, God takes small, doesn't he? We would all walk past him, I'm sure, on the streets of Belfast. And yet God didn't walk past him. God lifted him up. What starts small can become large. What starts undesirable can become beautiful. That's what we see. And that's largely what both of these parables have in common. But although these are twins, and if we move on a couple of slides, we'll see this, okay? I know this is hard to see. Don't worry, I'll fancy TVs in a while. But do we know this movie? Okay. Although they're twins, they're not identical twins. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in the famous movie Twins. Great wee film, that. They're twins, but they're not identical twins. Now, why are they not identical twins? Well, here's the reason they're not identical twins. Because I want you to think about it. I want you to think, you've got this wee teensy little mustard seed, and you put it in the ground, and it dies in the ground, and then this thing grows out of it. Okay? Now, first of all, we hear that the smallest of seeds becomes the largest of garden plants. That's because it spreads everywhere. It's uncontrollable. It's uncontainable. It goes out and out and out. But something weird happens in this parable because it becomes a tree. Okay. Now that is not really what's expected. Mustard seeds are not meant to become trees. They can become large-ish bushes. Okay. Bushes? Is that how you say it? Bushes or bushes? I don't know. Okay. They can become large bushes. Bushes. But it goes on to say that birds nest in it. Birds cannot nest in a mustard bush. Okay, they can't nest in it because it's far too weak. It can't be. So that's what's led a lot of commentators to say this is a monstrosity. This parable must be about sin or something because it's a monstrosity. This does not grow from a mustard seed, a place where birds can nest and all that sort of stuff. Okay, we're learning a lot about gardens this morning, aren't we? It's a monstrosity. I would say it's a miracle. It's a miracle. You think about it. The message is that Jesus, it's a little seed, and he said, unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, and it does, Jesus dies. He's put into the ground. But something grows that is entirely unnatural. And it doesn't just spread from the Holy Land to Dallingstown, but it rises up and it fulfills a prophecy. It fulfills a prophecy in Ezekiel 17. Thus says the Lord, I will take also one of the highest branches of the high cedar and set it out. I will crop off from the topmost of its twigs a tender one, will plant it on a high and prominent mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a majestic cedar. Under will dwell birds of every sort. In the shadow of its branches they will dwell. So this little tiny, tiny, tiny seed, which highest destiny could be becoming a bush, becomes a mighty tree. And in that mighty tree, birds come and nest. Now, birds coming and nesting is highly symbolic. And you have to choose your metaphor here. Because biblically speaking, birds are either the work of the enemy, okay? They can be associated with the devil and all that sort of stuff. Now, I don't think the kingdom of God is going to house evil. But it can also mean the Gentiles and other nations. And it says, into this tree will come birds of every kind. Okay? In other words, Jesus, he dies, he's planted, he's buried, he grows. He grows far bigger than anyone could expect. He spreads far further than anyone can expect. And he's a mighty cedar. And every nation of the world can come and nest in him. What a beautiful image. I mean, is your heart's desire to see people from every nation in the world come to know Jesus? Is that your heart's desire? Is your heart's desire that we as a church here would grow in such a way that we would become a place where everybody in these villages could come and nest and be blessed? Is that your heart's desire? You see, it's a wide picture. We always talk about deep and wide here. But it's a wide picture that the gospel would reach everywhere and everybody. And I mean everywhere and everybody. And people with all sorts of stuff going on in their lives from all sorts of backgrounds that they would be gathered in. Is that your heart's desire? This morning, I only learned about this, the wee prayer time. And this wee prayer time happens there at 9:30. By the way, we'd love to see more of you join us for that before our service. But I only learned that Bishop Ken Good, you know, he gets everywhere, Bishop Ken Clark gets everywhere, doesn't he? And he was actually quoted on the radio this morning by the new Presbyterian moderator, who remembered some wise words from a very long time ago that he shared with him in Coleraine. And what Bishop Ken said, now you can quote me if this doesn't sound right, he said, you look after the depth, and God will look after the width. Is that about right? Is it? You look after the depth, and God will look after the width. So if we want to see a wide expression of evangelistic ministry, of all kinds of people coming to nest here in our church, we don't look after the width. We need to look after the depth. And that's why these parables are twins, but not identical twins. Because the mustard seed speaks of width, and it speaks of the growth of the kingdom planted by Jesus that will go in a way that everybody can nest in it. Here, though, is the depth. Because the parable of the yeast, while the other one refers to outward growth, the parable of the yeast refers to inward growth. Inward growth. Donald Carson or Don Carson talks about, this parable speaks of inward transformation, inward intensive transformation. So we've talked about what will go on outside, you know, what the wide will be. But what about the depth that each of us as individual Christians are responsible for ourselves? We look after the depth and God will look after the width. Well, here we go. Here's what we discover in the parable of the leaven or the yeast. Now, don't shoot me for saying this, right? Because I think it's fairly true. If you imagine Jesus talking to a big crowd, he probably talks to the men about farming. And then he probably addresses the ladies about baking. Now, you're going to shoot me, aren't you, for saying that? Okay? But in the ancient world, that was the sort of the way it was, okay? I know that there's lots of Gordon Ramsays and all the rest of it in the world today. But you know, he's trying to address people and trying to get them to understand this. And so he turns from the male metaphor to the female one. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. 3 measures of flour was about 40 liters, which would make enough bread for 100 people. So this is a lot of bread, a lot of work that's going into this. Now, all I want very simply is I want to think about this in our own lives, how we can be expansive in our own lives, how we can look after the depth so that God looks after the width. And I just want a wee simple way to remember it. And the next slide is just ARK. Okay? Hopefully the next slide. ARK. Very simple. Easy to remember. ARK. That's what I want you to remember this week when you think about the leaven. The first thing is this. That leaven or yeast is an alien additive. Okay? It's an alien additive. Okay? What has been put into the flour is something that is alive. It's from the fungus family, okay? It's something that's alive. It's been added to it in order to make the thing grow. Now, this concept of alien life being added is so very important. John Stott translates 1 John 3, verse 1, and he says this. He says, what alien love is this, that we could be called children of God? What otherworldly love has been lavished on us that we could be called children of God? It's really important that we know that our society will say lots of things about looking inside yourself and finding the light within yourself and all these kind of ideas. That is not a biblical concept. The biblical reality is that there is no growth for us without the alien experience of God entering into us. The secret is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So the only way we will develop, the only way we will grow, the only way that our lives will become what they're meant to be is if we invite God into them. Have we invited the Holy Spirit? Have we invited Jesus into our hearts and our lives? We must do it, and we must continue to invite his presence into our lives. The second letter here after alien that we remember about this yeast is that it's put in for a reaction. It's put in for a reaction. There's a reason why it's put in. This is so cheesy, but I read somebody had written, what is it? Bread rises in the yeast and sets in the waste. All right, so there you go. Rises in the yeast and sets in the waste. It's put in there so it can grow, so that the bread can grow. You know, we actually are not meant to be wee, small, insignificant people in God's economy. Do you realize that, don't you? I mean, in Psalm 18, which is probably my favorite psalm in the Bible, it says that he rescued you because he delighted in you. Isn't that beautiful? He rescued you because he delighted in you, and he set you into a wide open space. And then if you go into Galatians in the New Testament, what you'll see is that Paul, when he sees how the Galatians are starting to go back to circumcision and all these sorts of things, he says, what has made you so small? What has made you so small? Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. See, we are not meant to be wee small people. We are meant to be people that are growing in the things of Jesus and growing in grace and inhabiting the wide open space. Ephesians 4 said, we are not meant to remain as children, but to grow up in every way into Christ. He brought us into a wide open space so we could flourish. That's the reaction. That's what the Holy Spirit being poured into our lives is meant to do. It's meant to make us grow. I don't really know how yeast works. All I do know is that it kind of, when it's activated, feeds on the sugar in the flour, creates carbon dioxide and causes it to go, you know. And that's what's meant to happen in our lives. We're meant to grow. And if we're not growing, there's something wrong, or there's not enough yeast in the mixture. Finally, ARK. It's alien. It's there for a reaction. And the third thing is it needs to be needed. It needs to be needed, like us all, okay? We all need to be needed. But it needs to be needed. So the woman has to put amazing amounts of energy into kneading all of this yeast through the whole mix. And if she doesn't, it won't be activated in the mix and it won't grow up as it should. And we're told the same. We're told that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. G.K. Chesterton is one of my favourite quotes. He says this. He says that grace is opposed to earning. It's not opposed to effort. You know, you can't earn your salvation, but in the walk with Jesus, there is effort. There's needing. There's putting the life of Jesus into every part of your life. In order to grow, we need to eat. That's the Bible. In order to grow, we need to breathe. That's prayer. In order to grow, we need good hygiene. That's confession of sin. In order to grow, we need a caring family. That's called fellowship. In order to grow, we need regular exercise. That's called service. In order to grow, we need protection from temptation. In order to grow, we need to give. That's stewardship. And in order to grow, we need the yeast of the Holy Spirit to be poured out into our lives, an alien love that will cause us to rise, that we will need into every part of our life, into our giving, into our living, into our relationships. It needs to go in to every single part of who we are. Let's stand together. Folks, just as we move into an attitude of prayer, I just want us to ask the question, am I growing? Am I growing deeper? Our desire is to see the church's ministry be wider. Wasn't it just beautiful to see 1,000 people or more in Planders Park? Our desire is to see ministry be so much wider and to reach into every house in our villages. But we know that God will look after the width if we attend to the depth. So Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit into every heart today. Increase the depth of our devotion. Depth of our love, the depth of our reliance and our dependence on the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we pray for a reaction in our lives. We pray that the yeast would invade every part of us and cause us to grow up into the wide open spaces. That we would grow as we should grow. And Lord, we take the challenge of seeing it needed into every part of our doing in our lives. Lord God, I just pray that you would minister to a sense in any of us that the gospel isn't effective. Any of us that sort of had great grand ideas when we were teenagers about how all our friends were going to come to faith or whatever, and we've kind of lost it and become small. I pray that you would minister to that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Folks, let me just read you a quick story. And it's about the power of the gospel to grow things, really. In the city of Chicago, one cold, dark night, a blizzard was setting in. A little boy was selling newspapers on the corner. People were inside, out of the cold, and the little boy was so cold he really wasn't trying to sell papers anymore. He walked up to a policeman and said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you? You see, I sleep in a box up around the corner there and down the alley, and it's awfully cold. It sure would be nice to have a warm place to stay." The policeman looked down at the little boy and said, "Well, I tell you what to do. Go down the street to that big white house, knock on the door, and when they come out the door, just say John 3:16, and they'll let you in." And the boy did it. He walked up the steps to the door and knocked, and a lady answered. He looked up and said, "John 3:16," and the lady said, "Come on in." And she took him in, sat him down in a split-bottomed rocker in front of a great big fire and left. And he sat there for a while and thought to himself, "John 3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." Later she came back and asked him, "Are you hungry?" He said, "Well, just a little. I haven't eaten in a couple of days, and I guess I could stand a wee bit of food." And the lady took him to the kitchen and sat him down at a table full of wonderful food. And he ate and ate until he couldn't eat anymore. And he thought to himself, "John 3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full." And she took him upstairs to a bathroom and a huge bathtub filled with warm water. And he sat there and soaked for a while. As he soaked, he thought to himself, "John 3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a dirty boy clean." And the lady came up and got him, took him to her room, tucked him into an old feather bed, pulled the covers up around his neck, kissed him goodnight, and she turned out the lights. As he lay there in the darkness, he looked out the window and saw the snow coming down on that cold night, and he thought to himself, "John 3:16, I don't know what it is, but it sure makes a tired boy rested." And the next morning she came up and took him down again to the same big table full of food. After he ate, she took him back to the same old split-bottom rocker in front of the fire. She got a Bible, sat down and said, "Do you understand John 3:16? "No, ma'am, I don't. The first time I ever heard it was last night when the policeman said that I should use it." And she opened the Bible to John 3:16 and began to explain to him about Jesus. Right there in front of that fire, he gave his heart and life to Jesus. He sat there and thought, "John 3:16, I still don't understand it, but it sure makes a lost boy feel safe." Lord God, I just want to pray the power of John 3:16 over this church. I thank you that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to be planted in a grave, to grow up into a mighty tree, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but be able to nest in that tree. Lord God, make us people who are deep in our love for your word, deep in our experience of your spirit, and who desire to be part of a church that would reach the little lost boys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.